No! For he knows that when you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, knowing, and you will know both good and evil, and you'll be like a god. Sin is deceitful. It says, well, you'll feel great after you do me. You'll feel great after you do me. After you commit me, you will feel wonderful. And then the most deceitful part is, just like in the garden, their eyes were open. And they knew that they were naked. They had the effect that they expected happened. And they didn't die right away. They did not die, as they thought, you know, like they probably thought they would just keel over dead. Right? The soul that sins, it shall die. Well, I sin. I have sinned. And I didn't die. What gives, right? It seems that because judgment is delayed, men's hearts are hardened. And they think God is altogether one like them. He doesn't care. God doesn't really care about all these things. We can do what we want. Look, we do it, it feels good, and there are no consequences. Isn't sin wonderful? It's deceitful. And I know people like to say, well, they died spiritually when they ate the fruit. Yeah, well, that doesn't really mean anything, does it? When they ate the fruit, their sentence was passed. And the day they ate thereof, their death was assured. And then they say, well, they died spiritually. And that seems a bit of a cop-out to me because it's like, it doesn't mean anything. Died spiritually. You know, yeah, I guess so. But that's kind of, you know, aha, I meant spiritually, you know, spiritually dead. It's more like they want to say they've died figuratively. But I don't believe that. I believe that he meant that they would die literally when they ate it. You will put on mortality. You will surely die. The statement, you shall die, became truth. You know, that was the day their sentence was passed. Sin is deceitful. It leads us astray. It makes us think there'll be no consequences. It'll be good. We'll enjoy ourselves. But it will bring death. Sin is deceitful. And God made it that way. You know? What are you saying? Well, I mean, God created our bodies and then created all kinds of things our bodies could do. And then create all kinds of substances our body could enjoy and et cetera and things. And then forbid a lot of it. And well, just like food. I mean, let's just take something real easy and odd like food. You know, it's good. Feel your body when you eat, it feels good and it feels good to feel full, right? Your body says, yes. Oh, it's delicious. Keep eating. But it's sin. And I like that because it's actually one of the few sins that has a immediate consequence. Or in your lifetime, you can see the consequences of intemperance when it comes to food. Lack of self-control. You know? And that's the point. God wants us to be able to... He wants us to see the need of self-control. He wants us to be self-controlled. Because look, if we're going to become heirs of salvation, if we're going to become the holy brethren of this heavenly calling, he wants to prove us. He wants to make us into self-controlled. Last thing he wants to do is to grant divine power to a bunch of sons who are going to start, you know, creating torture worlds and stuff like that. Or pleasure worlds. And just this uncontrolled, doing things that from God's perspective are low. You know, he does not want to fill the universe and universe of universes with having these adopted sons of his own creation that are not of one mindset with him. He does not want that. And that's part of what life in this world is about, is being made ready. You know, bringing many sons to glory. It's one kind of glory he's interested in. It's the kind of glory, his glory. He wants a glory that is a reflection of his own. Meaning not the way man loves things. And so he puts these things in us and temptations in us. Because, you know, like I said, God made our bodies, and our bodies feel the goodness of sin. It feels the enjoyment of sin. I mean, sin is pleasure. The pleasures of sin for a season, it is pleasurable. Many things. I mean, a lot of sin isn't pleasurable, true. But for the one doing it, yeah, mostly pleasure. You know, God doesn't forbid sin for purely practical reasons. Like, it's all pragmatic. Like, well, there's consequence. You know, if you do this, there could be disease. Well, God controls that too. You know, it's because self-control is important to God. He wants it to be hammered home into us by the things that happen to us in this world. So let not our hearts be hardened. Let's exhort one another to righteousness, godliness, to depart from evil. Why? We're called to something better. Called to something higher. A heavenly calling. A glorious calling. Don't miss out. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hold it steadfast. There's a big if there. We are not made partakers of Christ if we don't hold it. That's why I say you gotta go from faith to faith. From righteousness to righteousness. You don't go from faith to unbelief to faith to less belief to faith to absolute negation of belief. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they cannot enter in because of unbelief. It was the biggest sin of all.